So Hannah, come on up here. Hannah Hunter has been a good friend, and she has known me since I was little.
Yes, yes, yes.
In fact, we go way back. Her father was the song leader at the church that I grew up in, and two of her sisters married two of my cousins who are brothers, so the families are interrelated.
That's right.
Which actually becomes really, when I go to Kenya and I say that, then they know we're family.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
But I just want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for Hannah. I thank you, Lord, that you have breathed such life into her. And everywhere she goes, she is bringing that life and spilling it out in your name. Lord, I pray that as she opens her mouth today, Lord, that you would fill it and that it would be life to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. Good morning. I want to explain that picture first of all, because it's an old picture and I look very bedraggled. What happened was on a Sunday morning at 6:30, we dammed up the water behind the mosque and we baptized 12 students. But we had to look out for the mud and the snakes. So that's why I've just come out of from baptizing at 6:30 on a Sunday morning. So anyway, I want to bring you the greetings of Pastor Dan Abijah and his family and our Hopewell Kilgores Christian Fellowship there in Kilgores. I am so delighted that Joe asked me to share. Actually, Pastor Dan was supposed to be here in June to preach, but the Lord gave him a very strong prophetic warning that he is not to be in the United States at this point. And we have learned when you travel internationally, especially, you need to learn to heed the voice of the Lord and not go when he says stay. And so we're hoping he'll be here at the end of the year. I'm actually going back in August, but I'm going to be for a very short mission. I'm taking the executive directors of our mission organization. We're going to be meeting with a lot of government officials. We're going to be meeting with people from Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. And so it's going to be a quick trip in and out, but we're just delighted what God will do. Now, I want to just give you an update on what we're doing. So if you want to start the PowerPoint, please. And that's the name of the ministry that I head up, Team Season Hard. Next picture, please. In December, Pastor Bruce from Pottstown and Teresa and Angelo from Reading came, and we did a crusade. Now, this is the Maasai. These are the warriors. As we live among the Maasai, they're the warriors. They openly carry their weapons. They carry their semes, their swords on their right hip. The sticks you see with the balls on the end, that's called a rongo stick. They will hack their enemies. With that, they break the femur, get them down, and then hack them. And we've seen the results of that. And then the stick they carry is to goad the sheep, but it's also their wife beating stick, they call it. They're very nasty to their women. Their animals are more important to them than that. And this is who God has planted us among. So we're delighted when they come to the Lord. I get very angry because they do the most radical form of mutilation on their women, and polygamy is legal. Next slide, please. This picture says it all for me. This is one of my students behind me. This little boy is a street boy, and he came with such trauma and such hurt because they're often abused, they're often used in witchcraft, they're used in ritual abuse and things like that, and then they're left on the streets. And so he came, but I saw in him a cry for hope, and I was able to carry him to the Father's heart, and he was healed of some of that trauma. Next slide, please. We traveled to Eswatini, Mozambique. Eswatini used to be Swaziland. Thank you. It used to be Swaziland. It's in South Africa, up against the west coast of Mozambique, and then Mozambique. Now, there's a king. It's a kingdom in Eswatini. He has 16 wives, but his mother is the queen. So what we did was we took a journey. They march to the Indian Ocean once a year and cursing using demonic forces. So we were coming in against and opposing. Everywhere we went, high place witches came to try and stop us. And we were here on the Indian Ocean when it was out, low tide, and we poured oil and you know, brought it back to the Lord. That's Dan in the white shirt, Christine, his wife, me, of course, and then Sylvester and his wife on that end. They were our host in Eswatini, Mozambique. Next slide, please. People have given for 8 years I had to oppose. a demon for this water. He would oppose me because drought is big and witchcraft very big in this tribe, the Lua. This was our water source over here. We don't have any running water. We don't have any of that. But we were able to dig a well, and even then the demon had a snake bit one of the workers, mambas, and they're very deadly, but we were able to get him treated. So now that we have a well, and it's where most of the widows that we support live, we have a farm. We're in the first phase where we had a soil analyst come out, tell us what's the best thing to grow. So we are growing, and then our next phase is to add animals to that. And we actually have a vision to put a medical clinic there because we have a medical officer waiting to do that. Because anytime I have to do medical clinics, the closest hospital is an hour, and they will not treat you unless you have the money up front. So we're trying to, and the witch doctors will come and oppose you because most people go to witch doctors for their health care. Next slide. Widows and orphans, because I'm a widow. These wonderful widows, they just, you see they're on their faces praying, and they're my age. And you can't see it here, but I bought them shoes. I usually make sure every month they have staple food in their house. Laundry soap, rice, cooking oil, tea, sugar, some of the things that are staple. And then like I might add fish, or I might add time on their little flip phones and things like that. And then the orphans, most of the street children, I'm trying to vet somebody to go over there and do an orphanage. I'm working with Teresa and Angela right now about a girl who has a vision for that. But these children are left in the street. And this, Kevin and Brevin, so the best things I can do is put them in boarding school. Right now I have 8 that I'm having school. These two little boys have come to our church since they're very young. And when Brevin, the younger one, was very little, his mother locked them in the house so she could go get drunk. And so Kevin broke out of the house and took his son, his brother, with him. We were in Uganda at the time. Because he did that, the mother put a knife in the fire and she burned his feet so he couldn't walk. So what we had, we went to the police and got custody of these two boys. But they were so in survival mode that when I bought a lockbox to put food in, they found a way to dig in and eat all the food in one time. So these are what we're trying to get them into a place where they're safe and where they're valued. Next slide, please. Okay. This is our church there. Now, during COVID, they padlocked our door. They would beat you after curfew. They would shoot in the marketplace if you were trying to get food. So basically, we moved the church and the school to my house. I learned for the first time how to buy food on the black market. Never thought I'd see myself doing that. But we had my neighbors were Muslim about 6 feet away, and they'd said, oh, we liked your worship. This is our church. You can see it's dirt. We now have cement. We have a church mouse that runs back and forth so we can watch him in the services. And Dan now has an office in the back. And of course, we only have a pit latrine. We don't have any running water. We don't have any flush toilets. If it gets really rainy, you have to move your seat to avoid the rain. But the presence of God is sweet. Next slide, please. There's a lot of violence going on right now, if you've heard. And they target young men. So I had 2,000 men one day, and they were Muslim too. And I said, let me hear your roar. And I pray for the Davids to come in and train you how to protest without getting yourself killed. But I anointed every one of them, and I prayed for them. And then, like I said, we have the ear of some of the people in government. And so we're in Nairobi at this point preaching, Dan and I, and those are some of the things we're going to see when I go back in August. Next slide. This is Dan's vision for the church. Mine is, my strength is marriages, because I had a very strong marriage till my husband passed. Dan and Christina were only married in a legal ceremony, a civil ceremony, because most can't afford weddings. So I said, we were going to do a wedding, we're going to go upon a holy altar, we're going to have a ring ceremony, and we're going to, you know, break this power of polygamy. And so that is what I'm establishing there with this family. And I think that's the end, right? All right. Now, I want to today open the word to you. And what time did I start? I'm very good at keeping on time. I have to be done by 11:30. Quarter up, okay. In Kenya, if you give time, it's a suggestion. But I said I know how to keep time here. What I would like to do before I start, I would like my son to come and blow the shofar. I love how you start your worship with shofar, because it's about a sound.
<clears throat>
Thank you, son. This morning, I would like to open the word to Psalms 23. Before you roll your eyes and say, oh my, we've heard that so many times. One of the things that I love about the Lord, every time you open his word, something fresh comes forth. And something that we need. When I'm going through all the seasons of my life, whether here, whether in Kenya, Lord, what is the word I can anchor myself to? When I get up on the night watch, and believe me, I have to pray around the world, I start with Christmas music, and I start with Psalms 23, because it focuses me on the goodness of God and the good things, because I know I'm going to have to touch some very painful situations and some very painful things, but it puts a back on it. And I want to use the voice translation. When I'm studying the word, I love and to look up all the different versions and what, how do they see it? And I want to speak from the voice today, because there's a sound, like he released a sound. There's a sound being released in the earth, and sound, it was the voice of God that caused creation to come to be. It's the voice of God that activated the Holy Spirit move. It's the voice, the sound that I want us to be aware of. It's interesting in Revelations 5:13, it was talking about in the throne room, that the birds in heaven, the animals on the earth, under the earth and the sea, began to say, holy, holy is the Lord God who sits upon the throne. How did they know that except we gave that voice to that? We gave the sound. We preached to creation. It says preach to us creation. Because we need to learn to speak to the elements. We need to learn to speak to the earth. We need to learn we've been given dominion over the animal kingdom. And the earth needs deliverance. Some of the most powerful demons I've encountered are under the earth. We need to learn how to take authority and dominion in those areas. Now, as Joel said, I was raised Mennonite. I wasn't taught any of this in church, were you? We had to learn. God had to teach us that this God was not this little boxed God. But he was a God that was infinite in his power, infinite in his goodness. And that is who we have to tap into if we're going to release people from the gross darkness that has covered the earth. Verse 1 says, eternal is my shepherd. He cares for me always. Now, since 2020, especially I have noticed since COVID, there is such gross darkness over the people. There's such fear. There's persecutions, there's evil, there's killings, there's injustice all over. Did you ever think you would see America in the place you saw her? No, but God. This is why we can come with a hope even in the middle of this darkness. Let me tell you what I saw. Iran is very persecuted, but it is the fastest growing church now on the earth right now. And the night that they did the bunker buster bombs, the Lord began to show me, he played it backwards, like a movie backwards. Somebody said, if you watch Jaw backwards, the shark is the hero. He puts limbs back on people, he pulls them out of the water, you know. Well, God began to show me, playing backwards, the bunker busters were coming out, but what I saw coming out of the ground was the Church of Jesus Christ in Iran, beginning to go higher and higher and lift their voice. They began to make a sound that was reaching heaven. And I believe they will bring the regime change in Iran. The church. We so often think the church needs to stay out of government. No, we are the government. We need to pray for the government. We need to be the voice. Who would ever thought you would see John Fetterman where he is today? Why do you think that is? The church prayed. I remember the Lord said, I want you to pray with him. And we were in the Maasai Mara when we got the news. Remember that Trump took the White House? The animals were rejoicing. We saw all elephants. There was no rhinos that day. There was no donkeys either. Now, I'm not trying to be political. I'm just telling you what we saw. Mother elephant looked at me. She raised her trunk and she trumpeted. I said, you go, Mama. Trump took the White House. The zebras were going like this. But when they told me Dave McCormick took the seat away from Casey, I heard the Lord say, begin to pray for they would be twinning, that God would bind Fetterman and McCormick together for the purposes of Pennsylvania. Our prayers are making a difference. Our prayers are making a difference. Eternal is my shepherd. Imagine, did you ever try to stop and think what eternity looks like? No beginning, no end. I tried one day and I blew my mind because I can't fathom that with my finite mind. There's no beginning and there's no end. And that's the one whose hands I'm in. Eternal is my shepherd. He cares for me always, 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 always. You know, when you have a child, you care for it, then it cares for itself, and it cares for you when you're older. He cares for us no matter the season. He cares for us no matter what we're going through. He cares for me. Now, they have a word in Swahili, mchungaji. Mchungaji means a pastor, but it's equal with shepherd. If you were to ask what a shepherd is, mchungaji, what's your pastor? Mchungaji. And then wamunjiki is all of our pastors together, or my pastor. And it's equal with the bishop. So the bishop and the pastors are seen as shepherds who care for the people. Now, what does he do? Verse 2. He provides me rest in rich green fields beside the streams of refreshing water. He not only cares for me, he makes sure that the environment. See, we carry the atmosphere with us. You can be in the most dangerous place on earth, but with his presence, you're in the safest place. And he provides you to rest in that. He provides you refreshment in that. This is why I love starting with this at night, is Psalms 23, to refocus myself away from all the things I'm going to have to intercede for to who he is and what he has done for me. And then he says, he soothes my fears. So he knows fear is going to come. He's not rebuking you because you're fearing. He soothes the fears. And when we do that, we refocus from the fear to God. We remove fear and we can see his face. And he wants us to remember that the fears, he said, expect the fears to come, but he's going to take care of it. Pastor Joe and his first wife, Heidi, did the marriage counseling for my son, Zachary, and his wife, Venna. And they were at the wedding. But my son went at my pastor Dan, who is his brother. Dan is like our chocolate brother here in the United States. My kids fight with him. They tease him just like any, except he's much smaller than all my boys. So that's how actually Pastor Joel and Dan met, was over that, right? They were counseling. They just had an instant bond. I loved it. They instantly loved each other. They instantly joined each other. Well, I was going over for a mission, and like I said, I'm a widow. So my son says to me, Mom, I don't care if you go. Just make sure you get back in time for my wedding because my father is with God. So we're going on a mission from Kenya into Tanzania, and they now detain me. Now, you're in a barbed wire with all these soldiers with machine guns. Do you think you're going to argue with them? They took my car. They took my phone. And they separated me from my team. So now I'm alone in this place. Later on, the team told me they were singing, and they said if they detained me any more hours than that, they were going to sing like Paul and Silas till the building fell down. So I'm there, and I'm feeling the fear. They're threatening me, and they're threatening to keep me in prison. And the Tanzanian says, "Well, we don't want her either." So here you are, and I have my team is not there, and all of a sudden, the fear is out here, but here comes Jesus. And I look in his face and I say, Jesus, I want to get home to see my son get married. He said, my daughter, I will not be disappointed if you turn around, but I have a mission if you will trust me. And at that point, I said, okay, Lord, let's go. At that point, they let Dan come back and get me, and they released me. And let me tell you, we punished the enemy that day. We raised the child from the dead. We called in the rain because the enemy does not have control over me. My God is in charge of me. But I had to look at God in that moment and choose not to fear because it was very frightening. You're in a foreign country. They take your car, they take your money, they take everything, and you're not going to argue with them. Yes, you can call your embassy eventually, but it may take a while. But God was so faithful that day. And then it goes on to say in verse 3, he makes me whole again. He's not going to go halfway. He's going to make us whole, completely whole, body, soul, and spirit. We are three part, and when we're one, when we are saved, the Holy Spirit is in our spirit, and from the spirit comes life. But 85% of our diseases start in the soul because that's where the enemy has access, the mind, the will, and the emotion. All sin starts with a thought. So what happens is we have to deal with that soul. And then our body is what carries the spirit. And so he will make me whole again. And it says he steers me off the hard-worn paths. How many times do you go to work and you think, oh, maybe none of you go down the school kill, but if you have to get on the school kill, you go to JFK to get on the flight, you're thinking, oh my gosh, these people are jostling, honking the horn, flipping you the bird, doing all kinds of things. And you think, I can hardly hear God in this. This is a worn, hard path. But what does it say? He will steer me off of that to roads where truth and righteousness echo his voice. Let's let him lead us to those places that echo his voice. Because any time that the word is spoken, it says it does not come back void. One of the scriptures at night that I love that I say is Isaiah 26, verse 2. On. Open up the gates so that the righteous can walk in truth and dwell in truth. For he who keeps his mind on him, he will keep him in perfect peace because his mind is stayed on him and he trusts him. And God is forever good. And it says that the gentleness of God makes us great. The gentleness, when we tap into the gentleness, which is one of the fruits, by the way, fruit, is that he makes us great. And so we step off that and we go to where he's taken us, and it echoes back. And also in Isaiah 55:11, it says that the word does not come back void ever. When the word goes out, it brings a fruit back. It brings a result back. And so as we tap into the word, we always carry something back with us. This is why, to me, most of my praying is in the word. And whenever we're facing a situation, what does the word have to say about this situation? And then the whole prayer team, we pray this. This is the scriptures. What does the word say? Because the word is eternal. The word is alive. The word is Jesus Christ. It is living and it's eternal. And it says he doesn't even put his name above the word. So the word is so crucial for us. And it never will come back empty-handed. Never come back empty-handed to you. Verse 4. The unending shadows of death's darkness. You know, there's always shadows lurking. There's always things waiting to pull you into the darkness. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That is the last fear we learned how to be conquered, is death. But it says again about this fear, that I will not be overcome with fear. I will not be overcome. And it's taking a turn. Let me tell you something. We're not born courageous. We take courage. There's many times your knees are shaking. There's many times you're terrified what you're facing. And you just have to say, I choose to walk forward and trust my God in the midst of fear. Because when people say, how do you get to be courageous? You don't. You take courage. There's so many times in my life that I wanted to take the easy road. I'm 72. Most people are going on cruises. What am I doing? I'm going to Kenya. We do not take the path that is easiest, but we take courage in obedience to God. This is where I think the American church has lost a lot of her power. We add God to our lives. We don't make him the center of our obedience. And we miss so much blessing by that. Do you think I wanted to go where there's no running water? Do you think I want to go where there's power at times and power not, and walk in the mud? Do you think I like sitting in a church with no air conditioning when it's 100 degrees with a tin roof? But it doesn't have to do with that. It has to do with my obedience. And the grace comes in, and he will help you with those fears and to take courage. If you keep looking at all the negatives, they're going to overtake your positives. Because it is a matter of walking in faith and obedience to him. because it says he is with me in those dark moments. Now it says it's dark moments, and we're walking through. So we're not to dwell there. We're not to build a stronghold there. Keep walking, keep walking, keep walking in the darkness, in the valley. Keep walking. Remember, it's only for a momentary time. And it says you'll be near me with your protection and your guidance, the rod and the staff. The rod and the staff, they comfort me, but they also protect you. And I am comforted. Now, the interesting thing is when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, only one person can go through at a time. You don't go as a group. I'm sure that Pastor Joel can testify as I can. When our spouses were suffering with cancer, we couldn't be in that valley with them. We could call out encouragement and we could pray, but we had to watch them walk through that by themselves. And that's how, in the natural, in your heart and lung are so intertwined together. The right side of the heart is the only place where all the toxic comes back, all the cells are filled with toxin and carbon dioxide, and then it's the only place when it passes through the bottom of that part of your heart, that's the only place in the body that already carries bad blood. And what's happening is you're passing into that, you're hearing the wind of the Holy Spirit, you're hearing the lungs exchange, good for bad. He's giving us that hope. But when you get to that level where the exchange, only one can pass through the capillary at the time. So the valleys of the shadow are for us to walk alone, not lean on man, but lean on the one who created us. And he knows how long to hold the valley. He knows how long it will take. And he's not there to destroy us. And I want to say, we're in a time of great grief. You know, in Kenya, there's so much violence. They're shooting young people in the streets. It's you know, like I said, the witchcraft, the El-Shabaab came and gunned down 157 of our students while they're in prayer. These are things that you have to live with every day. But God is still good. And you have to, one of the things is, and I think of Israel. And one of the things we have to be careful is that we don't keep our face and we don't keep our thoughts in that place of grief or nostalgia, because those are demons that will tether us to the past. There's a proper grief. There's a proper nostalgia. But if you focus on what's back here, you're not going to be forward thinking or forward facing. And so it's important that we do grieve, but we don't build a monument, because that's when the demon comes in and makes us relive and relive the nostalgia and the grief. Verse 5. This is what I love. We're coming up out of the valley. Oof. We are smelly, we are dirty, we're bedraggled, we are tired, we have just been through it. And what do we see? The maker of the universe, our God, puts a feast out for you. He prepared a feast for you in the presence of your enemies. What happens is, when you sit with the king, you don't want to come dirty. So you want to freshen up. You want to lay your weapons, and you're not looking back. Is the enemy coming? He says, in the presence of his enemies, you keep your focus on the one who created you. And what happens at the table is there's an intimate exchange between you and your father. An intimate exchange. I love the exchanges that happen on an altar. 2 years ago on New Year's Eve, I know some of my people were facing terrible, terrible thing. We have polygamy, and so a lot of the first wives get just such a bad deal. And I remember New Year's Eve when I was releasing a word. I gave stones to everybody, because the Bible says in Revelations, he will give you a new stone with your name on it that only you and he know. So he's changing that. And I said, I want you each to take a stone, and I want you to come to this altar, and I want you to put an expectation on your God for an exchange this year. It was so powerful. For 4 days, no one could touch those stones on the altar. That's the exchange God wants to do with us in this season. We've just come out of the valley, or maybe we're still in it. But he's preparing a table before us in the presence of the enemies. I think of how when Jacob was wrestling with, we think it was Jesus he was wrestling with. Is that how you believe? I don't want to be teaching heresy. Okay. When he was wrestling, now face this. The angel rips his hip out of the joint. That is not an easy thing to do. That's extremely painful. So they're wrestling. The angel says, let me go, the morning is coming. Now, why did he need to say that? He just ripped his hip out. He certainly could break whole with Jacob. But I believe in the exchange and in the wrestling, Jacob looked in the eyes of his creator and he said, that's my purpose, that's my destiny, that's my future, this is not it, and I will not let you go until you bless me with it. And he said, what is your name? Because before we can do the exchange, we must repent of the lies and the stuff we held on to. He said, my name is Jacob, which means I'm a liar, I'm a deceiver, I'm an usurper, I'm a supplanter. He had to confess that. And Jesus says to him, you will now be called Israel. Israel means God will fight for you, God will defend you, and out of his loins and out of his seed came the 12 tribes of Israel. If we trust God at this exchange in the presence of our enemies, that's our future. For a hope, for those good things. And then not only did he prepare a feast, it says, verse 5, the second part is, you care for all my needs, and you anoint my head with soothing, fragrant oil. In the presence of your enemies, when you're anointed, it's for cleansing. It is for healing. It's for a new mantle. It's for a new position. He's anointing you in the presence of many of your enemies. Let me tell you, if you're in leadership any longer, you'll get betrayed and you'll get people saying this. They don't deserve it. Why is he doing that? But in the presence of your enemy, God is going to favor you and honor you because you've humbled yourself under his mighty hand. So he anoints our head with oil in the presence of the scoffing and mocking of the enemy. Revelation talks about this when there was silence in heaven for half an hour. I wonder how many women were present, because it's hard for us to be quiet for half an hour. I don't know. It doesn't say who was there in the throne room. But it says the prayers were brought. The prayers were brought into the throne room. And an angel, it was at the golden altar, took from the golden altar anointing oil and poured it over the prayers. Then it was added to God as a sacrifice. Imagine that. Our prayers have such pool. He anoints it with oil, and when he smells the oil from the sacrifice, from the altar, he receives it. And it says, and fire was added, and it was put down to heaven again, down to earth. And when the prayers with the oil and with the fire hit the earth, the thunder crashed, the lightning flashed, and the earth trembled. Let's understand our prayers carry weight when they're submitted to God. Are you getting excited yet of what God wants to do for us in the midst of this? In the middle of this, he is taking us to a good place. You know, one thing I tell my children, if I die in Africa, please understand I was dying doing what I loved. And God was there. I was not alone. Then verse 6, certainly your faithful protection and loving provision will pursue me wherever I go, always, everywhere. Imagine you're looking back and God is running after you. He's pursuing you with a mercy, his goodness. For those of you who have children and grandchildren, I'll tell you, grandchildren are wonderful because it gives you a chance to love your children again through the little ones. And you know how you chase them and they look back, they're half scared, but they're half excited that Grammy's running after them. And then all of a sudden, you overtake, because God will overtake you. What he pursues, he's going to overtake. You scoop that child up because he was a little scared, but all of a sudden you're laughing together. There's such joy in both of you, and you're smothering them with loves and kisses, and a joy. This is what happens when God finally overtakes us and embraces us with his goodness and his mercy. There was a woman in Pastor Samuel's church. I think you know Pastor Samuel. Pastor Samuel has a dirt poor church. You have to go through the, you know the song, over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house you go. This is how we get to his church. Okay, is there flooding? Can we go through the river, through the woods? How do we have to get to his church? Very poor church, dirt, everything. So anyway, there was a woman. She was a worship leader, and the Satanists were trying to get her. They would come and on the road and speak to her, make her these promises. So one night they carried her under the Indian Ocean. I don't mean to blow your mind, but there are cities under the ocean. There's water demons that pursue people. And they promised, they go over all this thing, they promised her all this, but they said, you must kill one of your sons, and they put a knife in her hand. She kind of woke up. She came and she made for the church, and so Pastor Samuel and his wife began to pray with her. Then the Satanists began to pursue her again, but they said, whenever we try to come to your house, there's a ring of fire we can't get past. And when we try to come to the church, there's a ring of fire we can't come past. That is what our prayers do. When he pursues and everything, he's not going to allow. And she had been dogged by this because her husband, who divorced her and took everything he had, was sending them to destroy her. Well, when I preached that sermon and we prayed with her that day, and I prayed over every person this, she came back and told us 7 years of this stopped because God overtook her and set the record right for her. This is our God. This is the goodness of our God. He's going to overtake us, and he's going to be with us always, evermore. And he's going to love on us. Verse 6, I will always be with the eternal in his house forever. We get to dwell in his house. We get to be with him. You know, one of the things is that he makes his dwelling, we are his dwelling place. He makes his home with us. And I cannot tell you how many times we hear them doing witchcraft around our house at night and threatening and doing things. But God always comes in and we know we're safe. It doesn't matter if we're in their hands. He dwells within me and I'm still safe with him. Wherever I am and wherever I have to go. And we bless God that that is the faithful God that we have. Now, I wanted to also give time for us to think about. What I want us to think about today is think about any traumas. And I know some of you have been, believe me, I have dealt with satanic ritual abuse, and I understand the programming that's going on. Even at the governmental level with people, the sleeper cells, Jesus is still the answer for every problem. Jesus is still the deliverer for everything. There is nothing under the sun that he did not cover on the cross. There is nothing he did not take to himself when he shed his blood. There was nothing he can reverse and heal that the blood and the stripes were taken for us. Do you remember when he was on the cross and he said, it's finished? Even the graves open up and the people began to rise. That's the power of our God. Let's not minimize him in this time. Because you look at the world and you feel overwhelmed and you feel hopeless. Because evil is screaming louder. But greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Amen. And it doesn't matter. I know I shared this story before, but I was in prayer at night and in Kenya, about 3 a.m, and my angels who attend to me, who by the way are here, the angels who attend me were there, and all of a sudden these three demons, big demons, came. Now whether they were truly there or they're like a hologram, I'm not sure, but they talked about COVID is what they were talking about, and they were talking about assassination plots and the trying to tamper with our food. Now, if any of you think Bill Gates is a good guy, let me change. He is out to destroy. And it's prophesied that one of his children will rise up. They're vaccinating my girls, young girls over there, telling it's tetanus, but it's HPV. They're trying to bring GMO and basically starve the people to death. So when I called the government, they said yes. So I'm so glad to hear that I don't care how you feel about Donald Trump, that he's trying to dismantle the World Health Organization. They are not about health. They're about destruction and population control. And let me tell you, I live in a third world country and I'm a nurse. I'm not lying to you. I'm just saying. So anyway, when I woke up the next morning, it was funny because I had an American staying in my house because she couldn't get out of the country. She was very frightened. And when I was done, when I asked the Lord, do I have all the information I need? He said, yes. So I said to my angels, take the garbage out. So there was blanking and clanking going on. And my guest said, what happened? I said, oh, just garbage being taken out. But Pastor Dan called us to prayer and fasting. We need to get back to prayer and fasting. And when you go to God for a season of prayer and fasting, we have an expectation of what we need from God. So we went to pray and fasting, Lord, how? Because now we have to lead the school, we have our orphans, we have the church. How are we going to help? Because they padlocked our church. It's like I told you, they were shooting when you go into the marketplace to get food. Lord, show us how we're going to get our people through. And he gave us a strategy, so we addressed with the people. But to this date, and let me tell you, Kilgore's was a place where they would send the doctors to recover when they were on the front line treating. And there was murders and there was killings over there because people who opposed the rhetoric of COVID. To this date, within a 50-mile radius of Kilgore's, no one has ever had COVID. That's the power. And I'm not knocking anybody who's had it. Please hear my heart on this. It's that we're pressing into God. Lord, show us what we have to accept and what we can oppose. And I know many people have been very devastated by this. I know many people have suffered. And you know, when you're a missionary, you're pressured for some countries to get the vaccine. So what we don't do is we don't judge each other on those things. We show grace to one. I'm just telling you what God told us. Because people make the best decisions with what they know and what they have. But what I want us today is to sit before God and say, Lord, in me, where have I been traumatized? Where do I feel fear? Where do I feel, Lord, that you have not been enough? And I want to know you are my shepherd. And what I want to do is I want to open the altar. And I want you to just come do, I'm not saying that I'll pray for it, but I will pray, walk along here. I want you to do business with God. Do an exchange. Lord, what today do I want to lay on this altar? Because when you come and you bring an offering, whether it's your money or you bring yourself, it goes up to heaven, to the throne of grace, and there's an exchange. He hears your prayer. This is why whenever I do deliverance or healing, wherever I am, I try to take people to a holy altar. Because it ascends. That's where in worship, you open the heavens for angels to come down and worship. But here we come and we bring our sacrifice and we watch God begin to exchange. So think about if there's anything in your life that you want to bring to him now here and say, Lord, here I raise my Ebenezer. Here I'm laying this down. And let me tell you, almost every night you have to do the Lord's Prayer. Let your will be done, your kingdom come. It's exchanging. What you have used and what you have, that's not of him, but allowing the kingdom of God to come and the will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're aligning and we're realigning with him. And it's a daily process. If you think, and I'm sure Pastor Joel can say, we've walked with the Lord many years, but it is a daily thing for us. It is a daily thing for us to lay that down on the altar and walk away with the exchange that he gives us, a new name, a new mantle, a new love, a new whatever, to change our world and our atmosphere, that we don't live in fear, but that we walk in faith, even if we're scared. And sometimes it's moment by moment having to silence the voice of the enemy to speak the word of faith over us. So I would just like to open the altar for anyone who comes and just want to do an exchange with God.